Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong profitable impact on your business.
Good morning and welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and my mission is to bring you the most interesting entrepreneurs and business people that I can find. And these people are excited to freely share their business wisdom, their tips, and actionable advice with us each week. And across the board, they all have great personal stories to share. Very, very interesting people. And one of those interesting people is somebody that has been on my show before. He is a lot of fun to chat with, and I admire his business acumen deeply. And that is Jason Elkins. He is the owner and founder of Transparent, a company that helps businesses grow by using social media. And as we were just saying in the green room, if you're not using or utilizing social media properly, you're pretty much standing still. You can be a standalone dry cleaner, so you've still got to have some social media going on. So Jason has been using social media professionally since 2009. He taught the inaugural 400-level social media marketing class at Belmont in 2011 and 2012, and has conducted multiple clinics around Middle Tennessee for businesses, colleges, churches, and chambers of commerce. He is currently working with several small businesses and larger brands in various marketing leadership capacities. And today, this is exciting. Jason is going to share some social media marketing techniques that, frankly, I haven't really been paying much attention to, and they actually work. And he's going to share them online and offline strategies that make big, big impact. So be sure to join us in the chat room to ask questions or make observations. And you can also download this episode and listen to it on your mobile device. You can also find us in iTunes. Jason, welcome back. I'm so glad to have the opportunity to chat with you again.
Well, thank you so much. It's exciting to be here again. Last time was a lot of fun, so yes. I was looking forward to this. And the topic is something that's pretty dear to my heart. I mean, this is something I spend a lot of time on, not only to market my own business, but to help other businesses with their marketing and the techniques. It seems to me now there are social media consultants everywhere.
They're just kind of like there are virtual assistants everywhere. And
yeah,
you have to be careful. You have to really know what you're doing when you work with people like us.
That's right. And the larger or smaller brands, it doesn't matter, have to be careful. We're seeing these crazy horror stories pop up online from terrible social interaction. A friend of mine wrote a blog article a while ago that says, "Why is your intern running your social media? That's the face of your company. That is the that's the first line of defense
right.
for your organization." And I thought that was really interesting.
Well, it used to be the first line of defense was the phone call or, you know, the person walking into the office and trying to get past the Gorgon at the desk, the office manager, the person whose job it is to never, ever, ever let you get to the boss. Well, that has changed. Your first line of defense these days, whether you know it or not, is your social media where you're actually engaging with other people. You're not bombarding them with, look at me, I'm really good, look at me. And I think so many people don't get that.
Well, and if you think about how people respond to criticism or any kind of potential negative situation, it's been interesting to see that happen where if someone called into your business upset, you would never respond in the ways that some of the responses on Facebook or Twitter have been. I think Scott Stratton has a really good term, really good thought process on this, and he says we're really passive in person and aggressive online, and I think that is so true. That is so true. We've seen that over and over again.
Mm-hmm. It is. So, if you go on to any kind of a news site, I like to visit Daily Mail UK. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. It's my guilty pleasure. Let me tell you something. People can get nasty over there. I'm like, really? Would you say something like, I would almost dare you to say something like that if I were the person you were responding to my face. Because I guarantee you somebody would wind up on their butt. And it probably wouldn't be me. I mean, people with a keyboard can get really ugly. And I think it's a terrible, terrible shame. And I don't see, honestly, and I guess it's a personality thing, I don't see how it makes them feel good inside to be that nasty. Is there any benefit to that from, you know, for your soul, for your heart? I mean, is there any benefit for that? Other
no,
than just because
I've
you
been,
can?
That's a great question. I mean, the obvious answer for me is no. I've been working so hard, right, surrounding myself with positive people, with positive mentors. I read positive information daily. There's too much negativity out there. I do some even on my own Facebook page. I'll hide posts from people that I can't spend the time ingesting the negativity.
Right. Right.
So I certainly don't want to be part of the problem by pushing it out to the world. That kind of leads to this point that I've been thinking about for a long time. It's every time you post something on your Facebook page or on Twitter or a video, every time you you put this information out, it is a mini biography.
I've heard you say that before, and I'm fascinated with that, and I would love for you to really, really explain to people what you mean by that, because this stuff doesn't go away. You put it out there. It's out there.
Right, right. I've had some really fun talking to teen groups about social media, and as well as obviously businesses. But when they're posting in your room and you're having fun, or you're some humor or whatever, that doesn't always come out on Facebook or Twitter. And I really believe that our pages, the Facebook page that you or your business owns, the Twitter profile that you have, it's not just, if you want to go speak to yourself in a corner, that's fine. If you put it out in the world, it's the people that you're connected to and who they're connected to that you're actually talking to. And that's the argument that that I'm hearing from younger people, is that it's mine. I can say anything I want.
Mm-hmm.
And that is true, that you can say anything you want, but there are consequences to the things that you say, just like in your real life, right?
Right.
So I'm watching you kind of build your external language, your external interests, and you can get a snapshot of someone's life by looking at what they post and talk about and communicate about.
Oh, I agree. I think you get a very good sense of who they are.
You do. You do. And if... There's an argument to be made that, well, that's the good thing. Let people be who they are. It's not completely missed on me that we should be more of who we are. The problem is, I don't think that we're painting the truth when we're saying things that we wouldn't say to people in person.
Well, that's kind of my golden rule with social media. You know, I take that half a heartbeat, so to speak, because I'm not known for tact or diplomacy. Trust me, I'm not. My mother has always told me all of my life, man, your mouth is going to get you in trouble. Your feet can't lead you out of. Well, I'm still pretty fleet of foot, but there's going to come a day where I can't run. So I have to consciously monitor myself because I think in word pictures and I speak in word pictures, and sometimes what I'm thinking may not be palatable to the person that I'm fixing to say it to. So I've learned over time, particularly on social media, because you can't really take it back. Yeah, and you
right.
don't want to take it back. You don't want to consciously hurt somebody or damage them. And I have to take that little half a second to say, do I really want to say that? Would I say this? Were they standing at my front door or in my living room? And if the answer is an emphatic, nope, I don't do it. It's just that simple. It's the golden rule. Don't say something or do something to somebody that you don't want done right back to you.
Right. Yeah, are they standing in my living room? That's a great technique to
yeah.
employ.
I mean, if they're standing right there and they can bat me in the nose, I'm not going to do it. Mm-mm. I like my nose.
That's right. That's right. And
use some caution.
Yeah. Yeah. Common sense. You know. The way that I police myself is, if I have to think, is this appropriate? I don't post.
There you go.
I've got a sense of humor. I know you do too. And there are times yeah. where someone will post something, I'll be like, "Oh my gosh, I can't wait to respond to that."
Yeah, I've got a very dry sense of humor, and you know, sometimes people get me, sometimes they don't. I have to really be careful.
Yeah, and the way we consume information is different than if written is different than if it was spoken. We
True.
Don't hear the inflections. We can't
right.
see eye contact, no smile. It's all up to interpretation. So that's why it takes another level of policing, I guess, self-policing.
And that's a very good point because, you know, you don't hear the nuances. You don't hear the inflections. And that's why I like to listen to people as opposed to watching them. I love to hear people. I pick up so much more. But
sure.
In writing, it's kind of, you're right, it is completely open for interpretation.
What do you do if you have a client that's posting things on their personal page that you think might affect their business? Do you reach out to them? Have you done that?
Oh yeah. I jump on the phone and explain exactly what I think I'm seeing and ask them what their purpose is. We walk through it. Because, listen, I have had people, you know, I've had one or two clients over time. Not many of them have done this, but, I mean, they're posting what I think are completely inappropriate pictures or using language that is not appropriate at any given time. And I will absolutely
right.
get them on the phone and say, listen, you know, I know you think this is your personal page. However, people will find you. This is just not a good idea, and this is why. And, you know, this is what I would suggest that we do going forward. And both times they're like, oh, I didn't know. I just thought it was, you know, nobody could see it. Everybody sees it. Just assume.
Everybody.
Here's what you need to assume. It doesn't matter if you've only got 12 friends on Facebook and you think that that's, you know, just it. Just assume that everybody can see you because their friends can see it. You know, it's just kind of a ripple effect. If you say something ugly on Facebook or Twitter or you throw up your picture of you in a bikini that's not appropriate, you know, for your business people to see, just assume that it's going to get out there. That's the best way to think about it.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I share, not just with the teens, but with my clients as well. Someone
mm-hmm.
was posting a political rant, and actually they posted several political rants, and it was their personal page. You know, it's not
mm-hmm.
their business Facebook page. I gave him a call, and I said, you know, you might be alienating half your audience.
Oh, at least.
It's possible that you could be alienating half your audience. Another
it's probable. Let's call it what it
probable,
is. It's
right.
probable.
Sure.
Yeah, this
sure.
is. These are very tense political times.
Yeah. And I had someone, when I made that comment one time, they said, well, I started the Tea Party in our area. And I'm like, oh, well, if that's your audience,
right.
if that's your goal, go. You know, do your thing. My mistake. So,
mm-hmm.
But you see kind of goofy things, like someone was complaining about the too many carts or buggies in the parking lot
mm-hmm.
at a store. Dude, come on. You own a business. Just stop it. Stop that.
If you're going to do something like that, do it with a bit of humor and invite some feedback. you know,
right,
start
sure,
a conversation
sure.
around it. But don't just look. Back in the early days of Facebook, and you know, I was gathering up all the virtual assistants that I could connect with because there weren't
sure.
that many. You know, when I first started out as a virtual assistant, now of course I've gone on to be an OBM, online business manager. But I was trying to, you know, kind of connect with everybody, see what they were doing. And there was this one girl who had a fairly big name in the VA industry at the time. She was the most depressing person I think I've ever come across. And I finally just blocked her because she was just, she complained about everything. And I thought, how in the world does this girl have clients? I would smack her. I mean, she
yeah.
was really annoying. In she was consistent, though, very consistent in how miserable she was. And she was, you know, really needing to share that, apparently. I finally just blocked her. It's not a good thing to do.
Yeah.
I mean, we all have bad days. Of course we do. Keep
sure.
it to yourself. You know, really,
sure.
just keep it to yourself.
Sure. Or call your buddy. Call somebody. Call a friend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Go walk your dog.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that.
Work it out.
I don't know that we've talked about this before, but I've got a technique that I teach my business clients when they're trying to develop their branding around Facebook, around Twitter, or with using other whatever their social network of choice is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called the thumb test. We may have talked about this before, but I thought it was important to kind of
yep.
bring it up again in
share.
Context of it.
Absolutely share. Mm-hmm.
In the old days of the advertising world, if you were printing a poster or an article that was going to go in the newspaper or a magazine, and it was going to be like an ad, ad copy,
mm-hmm.
with pictures or corresponding information. The art director, creative director, would take the information that was given, look at this on his or her desk, and do what's called the thumb test, which is cover up the logo on that piece of content. So if you can just walk with me for a minute and picture a Nike ad, whether it be print, TV, it's the stark color. Sometimes it's just a pop of color, a lot of black and white. I've got a picture up actually on my desktop right now that's of one of their ads with Kobe Bryant, and he's flying through the air. It's all blacked out in the back, and it's just him. And if I cover up the Nike logo, this is a Nike ad. There is no doubt. There's no question. So I've kind of taken this to the digital framework that we have as well, and I've asked some of my clients, as you see your posts on Facebook for your corporate page, put your thumb over the name of the business and read through that copy and look at those pictures. Do your own thumb test. And can you determine that, A, what the business does, who your target audience is, what the main points that you're trying to make, is this supporting your existing marketing? Is this representative of a brand, of your brand as a whole? And it's interesting.
That's brilliant.
Thank you. The interesting thing that I've seen is I was working with a church, and you could do this technique, and you could see at the church they talked about service times, and they shared links from the music, and they talked about some success story that they were having in an area of their church, and it was cool. You know, you kind of read it, but they have four key concepts that if you go in the church, you sit down and listen, you will hear those concepts over and over. The pillars of what makes them unique. None of that was representative of on their digital, on Facebook, on Twitter. They just kind of talked about churchy stuff. And
okay.
It was really exciting to kind of see that shift in them.
Right.
So they could plan that out a little better.
And that makes perfect sense. I mean, it's one thing to just get up there and kind of scattershot what you think people might be interested in.
Right.
But if you're really talking about when you say the four pillars and, you know, what you're really, really all about, and you kind of create or craft or hone your messaging around that, that makes perfect sense.
And you're providing a better message. There's so much noise right now. There's so much noise on so many things vying for attention. If we get those few seconds of attention, do we want to just give a leadership quote? Do we want to, you know,
sometimes that's all I've got.
The
come
latest
on,
cat
now.
Video.
And, sometimes and, you know, I'm just tired.
For you, that makes sense. That's part of your brand. Is sharing leadership techniques or being a leader in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great. That's part of your platform.
My platform is to be a resource. You know, wherever those resources come from. You know, my job, as I see it, is to share those resources. And sometimes, you just need a good kick in the butt quote.
Sometimes I love them.
Yep. Yeah.
I feel like I just kicked in your kick.
No, I know what you're talking about.
Like,
but
yeah, it's like
you know,
a
sometimes
real estate
you,
company, you know.
Yeah.
I don't need the latest quote from, you know, Abraham Lincoln on the real estate Facebook page. It doesn't mean anything.
Right.
So, like real estate,
you basically have to figure out what it is that the audience is looking for. Are they looking for the welcome wagon? Are they looking for school information? Are they looking for road information or the demographics of the area? I guess you have to really look at what the messaging should be and really stay to that messaging as much as you can without being too preachy or too salesy, because people get that, don't they? They know when they're being sold to and they don't like it.
Absolutely. I didn't log into Facebook this morning to buy something.
That wasn't
my goal.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And businesses have to remember that piece of it. And, you know, it's easy to kind of get caught up in the, hey, it's fall. It's time for this. Come on in and buy these things. It's really easy to get caught in that. And that's the trap.
Now, how does that happen, though, Jason? Does it happen because they honestly, and this is my observation, this is why I would love to hear what you've got to say about it. When I see people doing that, small businesses or, small entrepreneurs who are maybe online, and all they're doing is like, okay, come buy my package or do this or do that. Is it because they honestly have not really explored who their audience is and they don't know how to communicate with their audience? What's going on there?
That's a great question. It's scary sometimes. It's scary to me how many clients, when I ask that question, who are you targeting? And the answer is
everybody.
I
get that. People come to me, I need a website. Who are you to target? Everybody. And I'll tell them, don't say everybody.
We're going to remove that off the table right now.
That's right. Just don't even go there.
I think that's part of it for sure. Not knowing exactly who they're targeting, but also, let's be honest. This is we've had 50 years of this is how you do advertising. I'm going to go make my pamphlet, get my business cards, get a road sign, and I'm rocking and rolling. That's it. 50
Yellow
years.
Page ads. Yep.
Yellow page ads. Yes. Thank you. Radio, TV, like this. Here it is. This is what it is. And then this revolution's happened in the last 5, 6, 7 years, and it's challenging for business owners. We kind of poke fun at some of these people, but it's not. It's challenging. This is a new paradigm, a new way to think about things. So I think part of it is just the industry has evolved so quickly. Facebook has grown so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter is exploding right now.
Yeah.
YouTube exploding. These platforms are exploding, are growing so quickly that just to keep up, even for myself who's in working with this every day, Facebook just made a big change a couple days ago. It's like, okay.
Yeah, their algorithms, they sure did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Twitter recently started allowing, you know, images that you could post, which I find very helpful. And then, of course, we've got Pinterest, which is huge. I mean, they came out of nowhere and just exploded onto the scene. So, you've got to keep up with it.
Yeah, and that was interesting that we had the first year that we did the class, the marketing class at Belmont University, which is it's a pretty prestigious school, especially in the kind of the Mid-South. We didn't even mention Pinterest the first class.
Oh.
And then between the first class and the second class, Pinterest became the largest standalone website ever made. So we had, you know, we're incorporating this new platform into our presentation. I know, where did this even come from?
I know. When it came out, I went, oh, that's a very cool idea. And I didn't pay much attention. Then all of a sudden I went, oh, my, you better pay attention now. And I had to really bone up on it. And, of course, it's just growing and growing and growing. But here's the thing, Jason, pictures tell stories.
Pictures tell stories.
Evoke emotions. You know, they evoke memories, and pictures tell you things. And, of course, infographics are, you know, very, very helpful. I don't much care for them myself, but yeah, I'm not attracted by them, but I certainly understand the marketing reasoning behind them, and I create them.
Sure.
They don't happen to evoke much of a response in me personally. But you've got to stay on top of all of this thing, and that in and of itself is almost a full-time job. So for, you know, poor people who are trying to run a business, I don't mean, you know, poor as in they don't have any money, they're below the poverty line. I mean these poor people who are just going, oh, geez, you know, I've got to open the doors, I've got to pay the bills, I've got to clean the bathroom, and you want me to do what with what?
Yeah.
Like, no.
Yeah.
And it's tough. Yeah, it's tough.
It is hard. I was at a nonprofit. I gave a workshop yesterday morning. It was actually a four-hour kind of an intensive. This is how you can use these platforms, and let's develop a plan together. And when we were all done, I'm looking around going, wow, this is a lot, because they're starting at kind of ground zero.
Mm.
And
did they look shell-shocked?
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit. They've got some really good plans in place. They're going to actually bring someone on board that's fairly savvy in some of this. And they wanted to get a really good handle on what to teach and what to talk about with that individual. And I may be working with that person as well once they get on board, in just kind of a consultative role, which would be great. Social media is best done by the owners of the businesses or by real people that are invested. Mm-hmm. It doesn't always happen, and you can still be effective the other way, but it's not quite as authentic, which is kind of what we're craving in society right now.
Right.
So, but I thought about that a lot, and as consultants, we really want to give the good stuff. Let me talk about strategy. Let's talk about technique. And it was interesting. I had at one point, I just stopped, and I'm like, okay, let's take 10 minutes, and let's make sure all your profiles are set up on your devices. Let's make sure that you can tweet effectively, manage your Facebook page effectively on your mobile devices. And it was like there was like this sigh of relief that they would have to set all this stuff up after the fact. And I have to remember, and we have to remember as consultants, that not everybody is at a level that we hope they are, or even when we think we have wonderful things to offer. We need to really understand, like you said earlier, who is that audience?
Right.
Who's that audience?
And technology changes so quickly. You know what? If they may have, you know, had a Twitter account that they've ignored for 6 months, and they go back in now, it's a whole different animal over there.
Right. Let's do the updates and let's learn the new features. Mm-hmm. Right.
Do a refresher course quick. Exactly. You've got to stay on top of it. And I want you to keep on going, but remind me to circle back around to Hootsuite and automation. I think I've got some questions about that, but I just wanted to toss that at you before I forgot.
Okay. Great. And that was, it's funny that we talked about Hootsuite yesterday with this team. I wanted to talk just briefly about a couple campaigns that I saw recently that I was part of or that I was interacting with, and kind of some success stories to remind people that, you know, it does take time and there are things to do, but you can have some really great successes as well. And I was hoping to give some encouragement with the audience that there are some really great things you can do, even if you don't have a huge following. But before we get into that, let's talk about Hootsuite.
Let's do it, because here's the thing. I do an awful lot of social media for my clients. You know, I'm an online business manager, but I do have one package that I offer. It's just the one that is strictly social media. You know, I'm not building their websites or, you know, doing all of that. It's just social media. And I'll be frank with you. I don't do automated anything. It is all me. I learn to speak in their voice. I don't even let my team do this. And when I take on a social media client, it is me, because I need to really, really be able to speak in their voice, in their tone, use their syntax, and really, you know, get out there and interact with their audience. And I need to do it so seamlessly that when they're speaking with somebody, that the person they're speaking with honestly doesn't know that they're not speaking to the business owner. It just never occurs to them that they're not. And that's tricky. It's very tough to do. But the thing is, it's so important to get out there and engage. And I will not, and this is where I guess I need your input, I don't automate anything. I think it's too critical to actually be there kind of in the trenches. And, you know, I've seen instances where you're automating something and, you know, all of a sudden something else has happened to supersede it and you really look kind of callous. And we've all seen that happen.
Yeah, there's an example that I'm thinking right now of with a concert where the promoter everything scheduled, and you know someone died, and they're still promoting the concert. It's not even on anymore.
Yeah,
you know, it's really and
nobody thought to go remove those. So yeah,
no,
you're right. I mean, there's inherent problems with that.
Yeah, and the firestorm that happened to them. It's, you know, they were trying to do the right thing, even, but just the way that the, you know, the kind of in the moment stuff is so important. I will tell you that, well, there's like this whole movement online of people saying, you know, businesses have to do this on their own, or it's not authentic, it's not real, it's not. Well, that's not exactly the case. I've got clients that I'm doing some of the work for as well. I view those as kind of a premium. They're gonna pay more.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've got a ton of learning to do about their business. I'm going to invest for the long term in the success of that business. And I take clients on that I have either some prior knowledge of the industry or at least time enough to invest in learning that industry.
And I'm very careful about who I do this for.
Yeah, good.
They have to either prior web development clients, or I have to know them at some level. If you were to come to me and I didn't know you and you said, oh, I want you to do my social media, the answer would be no.
Yeah.
I need to look at your business model. I need to look at who you are. You know, I need to make sure that I can understand who you are and what you're offering and what your business model is before I can even talk to you about it. But the initial thing is no. Let's look at this deeper.
Well, and I think that's really smart, and if you're anything like me, it's from trial and error. I've had some bad situations where I took the gig and I should not have, you know, early on. It's like, oh, no.
I think we all do that,
So, and let's be honest, ghostwriting has been alive as long as we've been alive. Like, ghostwriting books and articles and everything, and you know, the marketing copy in a pamphlet isn't developed by the president of the company. It's not.
No.
It's developed by professionals. So
well,
listen
to our political speeches. You know those don't come from the heart. Come on now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So I like having clients that are engaged in the big picture, that understand and that are willing to invest. Those are the ones that are getting the most success as well. Big shock there, right? So, but as far as Hootsuite, I will tell you that On occasion, I will. So I use some, and I'm not really. I don't love charts and graphs and Excel. I don't love that. I love people and working with people. But I have learned to kind of help myself. So I'll make a schedule that is coordinated with the marketing plan of an organization. We'll plan everything out for a month or so,
mm-hmm.
and get them to buy off, right? This is what we want to talk about for the month of January or the month of February. And once we have that in place, we can lay out a spreadsheet that says these are the things we're going to talk about. And
yes, yeah, editorial calendar, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly.
I do the same thing. Yeah, I do the same thing. That's what, you know, when I'm speaking for myself or for my clients, it's not random. I always have a plan.
Yeah, right. You have to. You have to, and you don't want the brand coming back and saying, "Well, why did you post the cat picture?" You know, well, we were promoting cats in January. You know,
right.
We had agreed on that. You signed off on it.
Right.
So kind of having them buy off is important. And there are times that if I know that five times this week we're going to be talking about employee recruitment or maybe something a little less hotbed than that, probably something could happen at a location, I guess. But if we're going to be talking about a specific promotion of a product, I may schedule out a few days, but I'm always watching what's happening. Or if I'm going to have a really busy morning, I may schedule out a few things the night before. But if you are not at least checking in and engaging every day, then it's not you're not getting the benefit of the authenticity, of the timeliness of all this.
Well, with my clients, it's several times a day across all platforms.
Mm-hmm.
It's not once a day. It's not 8 o'clock in the morning. It is multiple times a day.
That's right. Mine too. Yep. I love Hootsuite. Great platform to use for me. It's a little bit complex when you first start. The one thing that I use it for also that may be a benefit, and it's pretty cool that it's a free service at least for a small number of users in a group. I was working with this organization. We had a coffee campaign going on, which you know that I loved.
I remember that.
and they had, it was specific to Nashville, and we were doing some automation, or not automation, we were doing some promotion with a free cup of coffee. And what I did is I went into Hootsuite, and I set up a search that searched for anybody that mentioned Nashville and coffee in the same tweet.
Mm-hmm.
And when that popped up, I was notified on Hootsuite, and I could go in and respond to that individual offering them a free cup at our location.
See, things like that make perfect sense to me, but for me, scheduling everything in Hootsuite and letting it do the heavy lifting for you, it's just anathema to me. That doesn't make sense. That's not engaging. But when you do what you just described, which I think is a great tip, a great actionable tip, you're engaging. You have taken it from, you know, just bombarding people with stuff and hoping that they'll read it among all of the noise out there to actually going, "Hey, Billy Bob, want a cup of coffee? Come on."
That's
Here
right.
Here you go.
You just mentioned
it. I love that. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, it was funny. John Morgan is the person that actually introduced us.
John Michael Morgan, Brand
John
Against
Michael
the Machine.
Morgan.
Yep.
Yeah.
One of my favorite books.
Yeah, so good. Sitting right next to me right now, actually. we spoke at a conference together recently, and he said...
Oh, he's so funny. And you are, too. I can just imagine. I would like to be in the corner watching. And laughing.
Well, come on.
And giggling at both of you because you are both just very funny people.
Yeah, I've been to so many boring conferences. I said if I'm ever in front of people, I'm not gonna be that guy. So I work at it. John, John said, you know, we talk about interruptions on the phone or interruptions in our day on social media. You know, you can look at a business interruption or promote a tweet or something. He said, but if my car tire, if I blow a tire on my car and I pull over to the side of the road and right in front of me there's a sign that says, here's the number for roadside assistance, that's not an interruption. If things happen in the time that we want, we'll take any marketing message because it's relevant.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how that's part of my thought process when I'm looking for how can I interact with people, and that's really what I use Hootsuite for more than anything else. Set up these streams, check people out, and reach out and talk to them.
I'll have to look at that because I have actively avoided Hootsuite for so many reasons. Number one, I hate the little message that says via Hootsuite. That just bothers me. You know, when you're reading somebody's, you know, little message via Hootsuite.
Oh, yeah.
Really? You didn't think enough of me to write it yourself? I mean, that's a girly thing. Like, really? That really bugs me, that whole little, you know, this tweet courtesy to Hootsuite. It's like, no. So I immediately have an objection to that, and I think that's why I've always avoided it.
Is
there any way
to
get that to go away? Because if there were, I'd use it.
Yeah, I don't remember. I'll have to look. It's either so, like, I'm either completely oblivious.
No, I'm not. Yeah, I would be curious because if I could find a way to turn that off, I would use it, you know, not for everything, obviously, but for some things it would make perfect sense.
Sure.
I just don't like that little message. It really, really bothers me.
Well, there was a study done, Denise. It's not just you. There was a study done that actually said people engage less when they see those types of things, you know, powered by or promoted
exactly.
by.
Exactly. Because, you know, even though you know they took, like, logically we know somebody took the time to think up this tweet or this
sure.
this post. I mean, they really, there was some work that went into it. But then they just kind of tossed it into the hopper and shot it out. And we all kind of get that. We're like, you know, we're able to somehow selectively eliminate the knowledge that a lot of work went into that and just be
yeah.
mildly offended by it. You don't think any better of me than that? So it's a complicated thought process. But unfortunately, that's the way it works for me, at least.
Yeah, it's kind of like dialing it in. I can't think of a better
yeah. Even though you're really not, but you kind of are.
Yeah.
Well, that made perfect sense. Let's try that one again.
You just edit that.
Go, Denise.
Take that out later.
Yeah. Oh, you talk about a brain freeze there. Okay, that was no good. Okay, so I would love for you to give me some really structured advice on how to do this because I know you're working with people. I love the idea about, you know, the four pillars. If you're working with a new client, let's just pick one. This client can be... Oh, I don't know. They can own a gym. Let's just pick a gym for the heck of it because
okay.
that seems like a warm place to be. How would you structure something for them? You know, I mean, what advice would you give them? And to our audience, you can be anybody. You can be a dry cleaner. You can be a gym. You can be a virtual assistant, a web developer. You can be another online business manager or even a social media person. You always need to learn something new. So take whatever Jason is about to tell you and apply it to your own, you know, your own set of circumstances. So no pressure, Jason. Go. Go.
It's a tough because you don't know who the audience is. The first thing to do is try to define who is your target. Who is your
mm-hmm.
target? There's so much
Not
noise.
Everybody.
Can't be everybody. So
yeah.
So that's kind of the first step in kind of putting action. You know, I have an actual process to develop a social media plan that's got 7 steps. We can walk through those right now.
Yeah, do you
exactly
mind?
Exactly what I do. No, that'd be great. It's exactly
I would
what
love
I
for you to do that. Okay.
With my customers. So, and then I'm going to talk about a couple of these success stories that will be fun to share.
Okay.
So the first thing, and like we said earlier, so many businesses miss this, is just simply who are your audience? And where I start with that is, who is your best customer? So I went back when I started really getting a handle on this and started looking at who my customers were and realized that there was a couple referral sources that gave me people that I just loved working with.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really enhanced my relationship, worked really hard on my relationships with those, a couple of referral sources. It was worked perfectly for me. So who are your best customers, and then where are they? Is
yeah,
it
I call
regional?
Those my angel clients. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I like that term.
Mm-hmm. They're my angel clients, absolutely.
I might.
They love you. They absolutely trust you. They know that whatever you produce for them is going to be top-notch, and they are absolutely willing to refer you to anybody who will listen.
Right. Value your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so important. So that's I love that term. I might have to borrow
it. You can
that.
Have it. It's yours.
Okay. Woo! blog post coming.
Oh, right.
So who are they and where are they? And then the next step is, what are your goals? Not everyone has the same goal with social media. We've talked a lot about Facebook, but let's just say it's Instagram. What's your goal with Instagram? If I'm a gym, maybe my goal of Instagram is to show short tips on how to best lift. Maybe my Instagram profile is really it's just motivation. So every day I've got some awesome quote and someone sweating or a video of someone that's achieving success in that. Or maybe it's location specific, and I want people to know of all of the locations of my gym if I've got several. So
mm-hmm.
in a week,
Ooh,
if I've
idea.
Got five locations, I might post a picture from, you know, the north location. So if that's your goal, is to expand the awareness, it would change the activity. There's also a huge movement right now that I'm seeing where Facebook or Twitter are turning into the customer service arm of organizations. Are you seeing this with your clients?
Yes. Well, not my clients so much, but I'm seeing it with bigger brands. Like right now I've got a little mini battle going on with Sears. I am not liking Sears right now.
Mm.
And they're not real fond of me either. But and guess who's going to win this one? I'm telling you right now.
Yeah, I already know.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, but you're seeing this with bigger brands. You know, they all have Facebook pages, and Cox Communications, AT&T, you have a quarrel with any of them or a problem, you just go on their Facebook page. And it looks to me like they've got somebody dedicated sitting there all day to answer these things and make sure that they don't get out into the public in a really rotten way, which I think is smart, smart.
Absolutely. One of
it's
the
proactive. You know, it's a good
very.
Way to stay on top of what's going on.
One of the organizations I work with is a string of convenience stores, and for the life of me, I would not have thought it would be as much fun and as positive of an experience as it has been all the way around. And
really?
Yes.
See, I would think that it would be largely negative, and it's not.
It's not. You know,
whoa.
There's a difference, and political or, let's just suspend our political beliefs or faith beliefs for just a second.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell the difference if you go through a drive-thru at McDonald's or at Chick-fil-A. Just the way that people interact with you.
It's
marketably different, right?
Well, this Chick-fil-A has a very different business philosophy, and it shows.
Right. It does. So this brand of convenience stores wants to be that type of location for their clients.
Nice.
And they're making strides doing that. It starts with corporate, then it's hiring, then it's products, then it's customer service, then it's cleanliness. Like all of these things, they have a lot of missions on the board to focus this. There was somebody that walked into one of the locations and said, it's going to be sound kind of counter, just kind of bear with me. The person was on the phone, the cashier was on the phone, didn't look up, said, what do you want? It was really rude, like horrible experience. And they took the time to detail this out. It's probably 300-400 words about what happened in this exchange. And that information was on Facebook. It was responded to immediately, and that person was fired from a Facebook, from an interaction that happened offline. They put it online, and then there was a big decision that happened afterwards. This is not how we treat our customers.
Well, and one would assume that they actively looked into it and didn't just take the customer's word for it, that
totally
they actively
true.
Looked into it. Right.
Totally.
Because you can't just, right.
Right. We are going to
but
investigate
I love
the
that.
Situation. Was their
mm-hmm.
response.
Mm-hmm. And that's the way it should be. And you use the word experience, which is the proper word to use. It's not customer service. It's not customer satisfaction. It is customer experience. What experience did they, what did they experience at your hands? Was it good? Was it positive? Was it, did they have, walking back out to their car with a slight smile on their face?
Right.
Or did they stomp out and go, what the heck just happened? Listen, I've had something similar. I walked into, I love Dollar Tree. It's one of my favorite destinations. I love Dollar Tree. Walked into the little Dollar Tree, gum-smacking girl behind the counter, clicking her gum and tucking on her phone, never made eye contact. And I looked at her, and I looked at the other people who were standing there patiently waiting to get her attention, and I left. I'll go give my money somewhere else. But I called the manager and said, okay, I was in there earlier, and I left, and I want you to know why I left. And if I walk in there again and I see that same girl with that same attitude, I'm leaving again, and that'll be the last time I come in. They fired her, too, but it wasn't just me. There had been a series of complaints about her. She was just a nasty little girl. And I told them, she has no business in public eye. Give her a mop bucket and put her in the back. She shouldn't
sure.
be out front.
Yeah. But. Right, and shouldn't be out front is the that's
mm-hmm.
the key, isn't it?
You're
very out front with your marketing,
mm-hmm.
and that's the next step. Actually, is define your voice. What's your brand personality?
Oh,
you know,
good point.
You are what you talk about. So, who are your best customers? Where are they? What are your goals? What is your voice? And we actually did an exercise back in the day, in the old days, 2 years ago, when I was doing more web work, and we actually sat down. We're like, well, what is the, we got to write our own text for a website. So we sat around and wrote down the words that everybody on the team said on a regular basis.
I remember we were talking about that, you and I, off camera, so to speak, because I remember telling you that the wording on the verbiage on your website was just fascinating to me, because I build websites. I need to do the same thing.
Right.
I'm like, where did they come up with that? Excellent.
It's a conversation, I mean, that's what people want. Just talk to me like I'm a human.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for that. That's something that is you can sprinkle that into your post. So if I am a convenience store and I'm in Nashville and I love sports and we sponsor sporting events and I love music and we sponsor some music events and we make our own food and we talk about that and we have wonderful coffee and we love moms to come in and feel safe in our locations, this is our voice. We're going to be positive. We're going to be fun. And that's kind of where it starts, where the voice starts. And it's marketably different than looking at another really corporate that just is promoting the latest discount on Coca-Cola.
Right. It's a very different look and feel.
Right. Right. And then it's just why does your target care about following you? And this is a really tricky one for a convenience store chain. Why is someone going to go to our Facebook page? Why is someone going to follow us on Twitter? You know, it's easy
True.
For Rock Band.
Why would they? I mean, seriously, why would they if you're a convenience store?
The
Now, here I could kind of get it because we have a lot of little mom-and-pop places that, you know, I live in the Deep South and everybody cooks. I mean, everybody cooks. And, you know, these little mom-and-pop stores might have, you know, boudin in the back. They might have plate lunches, what we call plate lunches down here. You can eat better at some gas stations than you can at some restaurants. I kid you not.
Sure.
And it's not at, you know, some of these places, if I go in there and they've got great boudin, yeah, I want to find out more. So I will actively ask them, do you have social media? But for a regular chain, I'm convinced I wouldn't think about social media for them. So how do you overcome that kind of native, I wouldn't call it resistance, it's just, you know, why in the world would you have a Facebook page? So how do you overcome that? Do you put stickers on their doors? Do you have cards? I mean, do you invite people? What do you do?
All of the above.
No. Oh.
But at the core is, and this is true for anybody's social platform, any businesses, what is in it for me as a consumer?
Mm-hmm.
So why do I care what's in it for me? Well, if I can find out which days I can get a free cup of coffee.
Right.
And if I can enter to win $500 in free gas.
Oh.
And if I can get tickets to a show, then I am likely to connect with you.
Well, because
but
you're engaging them at that point. You're not just selling
right.
them. Okay.
Right. And giving them what they want. If all the page was just a, hey, we've got this new product, then it's really hard to compete because it's a convenience store. They're going to have products like everybody else. Like it's,
right.
It's not a real unique environment. So
right.
So we had to look at this strategy from a an online, offline process. So I'll explain that. And we got just a few more minutes. Let me just explain that real quick.
Yeah, I was going to say, for our audience, we will stop streaming in just a few minutes, but I don't want to stop this conversation. So for those of you in the chat room and those of you who are listening online, it will stop streaming, but it will be recorded, and you'll be able to download it and listen to the rest of it if we go over, and I suspect we will go over just a bit. And, Jason, I really need for you to come back because this is a fascinating conversation and one that I think we should continue, and I would love for you to come back another time.
That'd be great. That'd be awesome. I'd love
to. Okay, great. Okay, so go ahead and explain the online, offline, because I think that is so critical.
Right. The social media is not a standalone thing. You know, someone, even in the old days, if you made a pamphlet and it sat in a box in your office, it didn't help you at all. So you have to get information out to the world, and you have to give people a reason. So as an example, we came up with this concept of for Facebook of Win Gas Weekly for them. One of their vendors gave them a chunk of money to use to promote anything as long as they use it with their product. And we set up a one-page website where people could go in and get the word of the week, enter their email address, enter the code that was posted on Facebook. So they had to go to Facebook to get the code was not. The code was given to them at the location. So they had to go in the store to get the code. That's
okay.
The offline piece.
So you're leaving
and
them
then,
where you want them to go.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. In that industry, it's interesting. There's a huge percentage of people that never walk in the store. They just go get their gas and leave.
Yeah,
so,
credit card slot gone.
Yeah,
I don't go in the
store.
Yeah, I rarely go in the store.
Right, but you might if there was an incentive, and that's all we were trying to figure out. What is the dang incentive to get them in the store? And if that, for them, it was this really nice promotion, I could win $500 in free gas, and they did this for weeks. And
now,
they,
can you post a little sticker out on your, you know, above the credit card slot where people go, hang on a second, what? Can you do that? Or
yeah.
Are there prohibitions against putting things on those machines?
They're called pump toppers, I think, and they can put like a
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Okay, so you can actively advertise outside, which is important because that's your point of contact if they're not going in.
Right. This and this particular chain actually has TVs on every pump. So
I already hate them.
They got their own media channel.
I'll be darned.
So, and, you know, the customer experience. That's what they want. They want to be a premium customer experience. It's a good niche for them.
No kidding.
They were trying to pull people in, get them to go enter their email address. So they captured a bunch of email addresses. It was a bunch of email addresses. They were very happy with that. And the promotion was a huge success. And the really cool thing was every time someone won $500 in gas, it was like, that's the person that needed to win. It was like every single time. So great. So great to see that happen.
Nice.
So that is kind of this online, offline, lead them, and this big cyclical thing, but it took a lot of buy-in, and there was a big prize, and there was a big reason, and it took a lot of points to pull that off well, but it was a really big success for that location.
And, of course, once they get them, you know, coming into the store and actively participating in Facebook, then the onus, Jason, and I think I'm right here, but the onus then is upon the customer experience from there on out. You've got to have people that are friendly and, you know, able to really kind of interact with the customer or the consumer and make sure that they've got what they need and not just
completely
take their money and say, thanks,
accurate.
Have a nice day.
Completely.
You know, there's nothing worse
absolutely.
Than somebody grabbing your money and not even looking at you.
Right. Think about the, you know, these were hard to pull, like Chili's restaurant for a while. You could go into a Chili's restaurant, I don't know if you have them there, and you could check in on Foursquare and get free chips and salsa.
Oh, okay.
But the wait staff didn't know the contest, and they weren't really friendly with the people that were trying to get that accomplished when they first rolled it out. It was a big problem. It was in a lot of publications that talked about bad customer service. So you're right. If the it still has to be a good, you know, good. You still have to have a good business, even if
it
it's
has
a great
to have
promotion.
A good culture. The culture has to be there in order for you can have this great promotion going on. I guess is what we're saying. But if the culture isn't conducive to people wanting to continue to come in after they've won whatever it is that they won, or you know, if they walk in and they're not made to feel welcome, or you know, that they're an honored guest, so to speak, it's not going. It'll work, but only once.
Right.
Wouldn't you think?
Exactly.
I mean, it would have a short. It
no
would have
doubt.
A short, you know, shelf span. I would think.
No doubt. You know, I can go to 100 places in X amount of miles and buy this product. It's got to be. There has to be a reason for a better experience.
I'm so glad you keep using that word. It's so important. Yeah, that's an important word.
Yeah,
and I think so many small businesses don't get it. They just don't even think about it.
Well, and part of the issue is they're trying to determine how much money am I making from my Facebook posts, and I get that. Mm-hmm. They're trying to determine that. My thought is if we're measuring things, how much money are you making from the sign on the side of the interstate?
Right.
You know, so I can have followers, get my message across, enhance all of the experience, and promote specials and deals and great things and our voice, and you're spending way less than you would on any piece of traditional advertising. It's really...
Absolutely.
You know, so
and what you didn't mention there is that people will share if they have a good customer experience, if they just got
absolutely.
Something they think is so darn cool and shiny and pretty, or, you know, just a really decent experience when they got a cup of coffee or a gallon, you know, or tin of gas. I put gas in my car the other day and about fainted. It was bone dry, but I was like, how much? 100? What? I mean, I think I stood at the pump and wept a little bit. Jeez. I know my head was bad. I probably looked like I was praying to the Discover God, please. But it was like, holy cow. But the thing is, people will share those experiences. I mean, I went online and went, You have to, I mean, it's like, how much for 23 gallons of gas or whatever it was? I just about died. But, you know, if people share. They share their experiences, good and bad, and you want them to be good. And you want them to share. So, you know, the social media can do that. The sign on the highway, as you so eloquently pointed out, cannot do that. And that's why Yelp and Urban Spoon and all those sites, you know, they can make you or break you.
I've seen that happen. And, you know, we are judged immediately now with social media. That's why it's so imperative to have, like you said, a good atmosphere, a good environment. You are you are judged, and not only that, it's a trial by a bunch of people. It's not just one upset person that called an 800 number. You know, they're posting it on Facebook or tweeting it out. Oh,
and that's true.
One. Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
My favorite Twitter contest or Twitter promotion ever. Favorite Twitter promotion ever. And it was with the same client. I want to talk about that for a second.
Okay.
The one of the things that we looked at with them is, you know, what do we have that we can use that's already created or already developed? You know, we try to think of things in, with budget in mind as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they had... they had these thermal mugs that had, you know, a coffee travel mug that had their logo.
Yeah.
And they were kind of cool. It's kind of cute. And they had a new location opening that was, you know, it's got a big screen TV on the, or big screen display on the front of it. It kind of looks like a something out of the Jetsons. It's just a little bit different. It's really more modern looking. Super clean inside, gazillion offerings on every soda, everything that you want, every food item. They make their own sandwiches there. I mean, it's a big production that they've got. And a really popular location also in Nashville. And we talked about how, what is the, you know, they have really good coffee, and they wanted to promote that, but they also wanted to promote this new location and let the world know. So, this gentleman that I work with, Steve Chandler, we spend a lot of time on these types of projects together, and I'll push each other, try to make each other a little better, make sure that we're thinking through things. And we had this concept that let's get people involved that are social savvy, that love coffee, that have followings on Twitter, and let's give them something. And then it turned into, well, let's give them something they can give. So we came up with this concept called Operation Name Drop. If you go and do a hashtag search for Operation Name Drop, we're running another example of that now for them. And we talked to some of our social savvy friends, and we also got involved a lot of the Nashville locations, a lot of the partners that partner with this location or this organization. So Predators and folks like that. And we told them if someone walks into the location and says, the Predator sent me, we'll give them a free thermal mug and a free cup of coffee.
Nice.
And we picked somebody different every day for 30 days. And we would tease them the night before and then light them up in the morning. And the impressions on Twitter were ridiculous. It was almost 1 million in the month of November alone.
Wow.
And this location had 300 and some followers, still not a lot, 300 followers on Twitter. But what happened was the people that were, because if it's all about me, and not only can I get something for free, but I'm going to reward all of my followers with something for free. That's great content for me. I don't have to do anything.
No kidding. Yeah.
One of my favorite. We're looking at how can we recreate this kind of momentum for our other clients and for ourselves. And I mean, it just worked so beautifully when we laid it out. And the people that were the recipients loved it. People were tweeting. We got Instagram pictures. We got, it's like you can't buy that kind of promotion. You just can't do
that. People want to share. They always want, if they have a great experience, they are eager to share it. They're not just going to think about it. They're eager to get out there and go, you're not going to believe what I got. I mean, this is so cool. Go do this. They will share. So they're your army of salespeople, and it costs you nothing.
Costs nothing,
or very little.
They had like this pallet of, of tumblers that were just sitting there. Like, what are you using for? Oh, we're not sure. So it didn't really cost them any more either. And so fun. It's been so fun to do this. And you know, we're involved in the social community in the area.
Yeah,
so
there you are.
We know who the people that run the social media club are. We know who. He's got a ton of following and loves to tweet all day long, or you know. And then the brands were interested as well. So anyway,
we've talked so much about this. Yeah. You've got to tell me who they are. I mean, go ahead and share it with our audience.
Twice Daily is the audience, is the client. Twice Daily and Daily's convenience store location.
And that's in Nashville.
They're in Nashville. They've got. A few, and maybe one or two locations in Kentucky, but in Nashville and the surrounding areas, they own about 60 or 70 locations. And cool team of people. We kind of work on, it's a bunch of independents that have come together on this concept for helping them with their marketing.
How long did it take you to come up with this? We're going to put this for another show because we did stop streaming, and I'm dying to pick your brain on this, but I would really like to know when you come back how you came up with the concept, you know, how long it took to implement it. And, of course, I don't want details. I mean, this is your process. But my point for bringing people like you on my show is to show our audience, look, if we can do it, you can do it too.
That's right.
Just do it. I mean, don't sit around and think about it and wait for it to be perfect. Just do it. Use common sense, of course. But, you know, don't put it on a piece of paper. Go, you know what? I'm going to do that one day soon. Do it today.
Right. Right. And the experimentation and trying things is really key. We don't, we originally came up with this idea we were going to give free coffee and a coupon and roll that out on Twitter. And you know what? It didn't work very well.
I
hard to implement.
Think. Well, there's no interaction.
There's no interaction, really. No, you're right. So there was an evolution process, and I'd love to share that next time I come back.
Yeah, I would love for you to. Jason, you are a phenomenal guest, and I have to warn you, I'm going to call you and pick your brain in just a little bit. So be prepared. Be scared. Be very, very scared. But listen,
I really appreciate you having me on.
Oh, any time. And you gave our audience some great tips and some great actionable advice, and it is so much appreciated. I want you to tell people, before we actually hang up the phone, where they can find you.
They can find me at Jason_Elkins. That's my Twitter profile, so twitter.com, Jason_Elkins. They can reach me on Facebook. It's Jason.Elkins on Facebook. And if you go to thejasonelkins.com, that will redirect you to my personal website.
The Jason Elkins. I love
that. Somebody already took Jason Elkins. I had to raise the bar. I'm the one. I would like to mention that I'm developing a coaching program to talk about this type of stuff, social media interactions and engagement that work. It's going to be a combination of a Facebook group and a couple monthly calls a month, and affordable, and I'll keep you posted on that as well.
Yeah, let me know, because I'm always interested in things like that. Share it with my audience. You may or may not know, I've got a very active group on Facebook called Your Virtual Assistant, and we've got about 1,200 people in there right now. And I police it very carefully. You know, it's a high-level group. You know, we don't allow spam or MLM junk in there. I mean, you come in there, you ask questions, you help each other out. It is a fantastic group, and they would probably be very interested in something like that.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome.
So,
Thank you.
Let me know, and I'll be happy to share it with my group.
Awesome. You're great.
Listen, Jason. Oh, thank you. I was just going to say the same thing to you. We have this mutual admiration society going on.
I think we do. Yeah, I know. We do.
Yeah,
good.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun. But, again, thank you so much for being with me here today. I appreciate it more than you know. So, listen, everybody, the show will be available for download in about an hour. And you can also find us on iTunes. Just type in our names, Denise Griffiths and the great Jason Elkins. And I will see you next week. Jason, thank you.
Thank you, Denise.
You can find Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on your Partner in Success Radio.